People, this is Jonathan and Zoe for the More Than Just Interview podcast, coming to you live right now from the studios of 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family. The More Than Just Interview podcast is one of the top ranking podcasts in the music category on Apple. Right now, we're averaging about 25,000 downloads a week. We are constantly in the top, ranging on the top 200 inside the music category on Apple Podcasts. We do very well on Spotify as well. The More Than Just an Interview podcast is a very special curated platform for consumers because we don't talk gossip. We curate voices of encouragement, of intellect, and of empowerment around issues that are trending right now in pop culture around the country. I'm honored to be on this platform. It's been very refreshing to talk about everything from R. Kelly to Taylor Swift to topics that we are women protected in Hollywood, just touching on different things. And, you know, I'm one of the co-hosts on here as well. But again, it's an honor to be on the platform. Of course, you know, as usual, my co-host Zoe Rosegold, she's a philanthropist, entrepreneur. She is a recording artist. She is also a journalist. She hosts three of our most prominent podcasts on our network, Rap Life Decoded, which breaks down artists' lyrics from their perspectives. She also hosts our documentary series up down in Miami inside the House A Studios. More than just an interview here with myself. She also is a serial entrepreneur in regarding real estate investor, she's also in the nursing field as well, in the health industry. So she is multi-faceted talent. Honored to have her co-hosting Flying the G5 Jet. Z Rose, what's good?
What's good? Thank you so much for that introduction. I don't have to say anything now. Thank you. Appreciate that.
No doubt. All right, let's jump right into it. One of the first things I want to talk about tonight is Black YouTube Media Help or Hurt Black Culture. And here is why I want to start off with this, because I sent you an article about the Tupac murder case from TMZ. And basically it went like this. I'm going to just sum it up. Everybody knows that Keefe D, who is the guy that was arrested for allegedly killing Tupac. So he's in jail and he is trying to get bail. So basically he was an informant. He became an informant for the LA Police Department because they caught him trafficking large amounts of drugs across state lines. And when Dwayne Keefe Davis became an informant, one of the things he said regarding the murder was that he could implicate Sean Combs regarding his involvement into it. And what's weird was that what made the headline was he said that he offered me $1 million to kill Tupac and da-da-da-da-da. And the headlines ran with that. And then today, TMZ put up 2:28 p.m. Pacific time. Law enforcement telling TMZ B was never a suspect and the Tupac murder investigation. And that remains true today. In other words, it's clear cops were not buying what Keefe D was selling while Puff and didn't deem his claim was credible. TMZ is a mainstream platform. Mainstream. Global. Right. They never said, did he did anything? Because they have a responsibility because they know they'll get sued. The thing about YouTube is everybody becomes a mini TMZ or a mini New York Times. Yeah. And because they haven't gotten hit with a lawsuit yet, they'll go say, "It's Diddy's done. He killed Tupac and he's in all this and that." It's a claim. Anybody can make a claim as an informant. He became an informant because he got caught drug trafficking, moving drugs across state lines. And he said, well, for immunity, I know who killed Tupac. So they know he was his well-known gang member, leader. But they said, okay, we know you're a Crip, gang leader of the Crips. So we'll play along. The state of LA, the state of California has nothing to lose because they own him. Right. Lock, stock, and barrel. When you become an informant, they already know you're a criminal. if you're a criminal informant, excuse me, if you're a criminal informant, he was a criminal informant because there are informants that are criminals. They may be close to a situation and they may ask them to go in and pay them a fee. Informants can make up to $100,000, for being an informant. But here's the thing. Every black media outlet on YouTube went wild with this. Crazy reporting this. And we are in such an age of disinformation. And the reason why I'm saying black culture, because you don't see white YouTubers doing that. They're never going to run with a Kylie Jenner story. Unless it's bona fide true. And even then, they're going to move carefully because of they don't want to tick off her fans. And it's like, to me, when you see TMZ saying, basically, they were never suspect. So if he was never a suspect, why are you reporting as if he is? And see, that's the problem, because you give the wrong image of someone. Someone at CNN put a tape out. He beat up the girl. Okay, we get it. He beat her up. I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point. He beat her up. That's facts. How many times he beat her up? Don't matter if he gave her $1 million after he beat her up. He could have gave her $5 million cash. Hey, I'm sorry. And she stayed with him. Doesn't matter. To the world, you are a woman. But that was proof. That was a tape. CNN never said that he was a woman beater before that. Nor did they write anything down. All they did was say, Cassie Ventura said in the lawsuit that John Combs did XYZ. That's what they said. But the tape made it real. See, YouTube is a great place to create content and be informative. But it's so much more disinformation and a cesspool of bad information, because people want to get clicks so fast. And because of the algorithms, like if I put up a story right now, or if I put up a YouTube short right now saying Diddy and Keefy D jump on, Diddy and Keefy D meet up in LA today to discuss the case, that will probably give me 10,000 views right now. I put up an old YouTube short saying Diddy really loves Cassie. And it was a true video because it was about him on Whitney Williams from 7 years ago. The problem is that's past tense, but it still got 15,000 views just on a short. So it's like, I feel like lawsuits are going to be coming soon to scare these channels, because you have to be responsible with the news, because TMZ just said the man was never a suspect. And here's the thing. If they want him to be a suspect, they will make you a suspect. Trust me. And what's so crazy is you're saying this man offered you $1 million. That's still just what you say. Where's the proof? Where's the text message? Because back then we had cell phones. So where's the text message? You're saying he gave it to a dude named Zip, and Zip was going to give it to you. Zip's dead. He died of cancer. But there is no proof. So it's like you just saying something. So at the end of the day, if you're not going to produce the proof, you cannot produce the lie. And that's what people are doing. People are producing lies, man. And people don't need any more negative press. And that's the whole thing. Same thing with Tasha K. When Cardi B sued her for the $4 million. And she was on Instagram. She was on YouTube crying. Cardi, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Remember, everybody was telling Cardi. Remember, Cardi started having to change her, saying that she was going to probably forgive her. But she said all kinds of vicious things about Cardi. Said she had an STD, all that stuff. Like, that's crazy. And people, she needed views and likes and subscribers to her channel. People paying per month for that because it's Cardi. But think about what she went through. And all I'm saying in conclusion, I'm going to give it over to you. My main problem with black bloggers is this, is that you have to take integrity seriously. You have to. And when you say something, it needs to connect with the truth. If it doesn't connect with the truth, even if you say allegedly, you have to only use allegedly when it's already out there. You can't just make some up. See, slander is when you have no proof. It's just your guess. Say something. Well, I think she has HIV. What is that? She must have HIV because she sleeps around. That's not credible. Right. You cannot do that. That's called slander. That's blasphemous speech. You're blaspheming people because you want to get a reaction. You must speak truth. Not only that, when Puff said, man, these things are a lie. I never did none of these things. That was stupid because mm-hmm. the tape came out, so obviously he did something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or that at that point, you could call Cap on that, but whatever. But he didn't say that until after the fact. Did he apologize? Well, I mean, we knew that was coming, sort of, but he was going to deny it all the way to the end. And that's the thing. When you report information, you need to report on what's there. When that video came out, then everybody could say, yeah, he beat one. I told y'all, girl was telling truth. Now you can run with a story saying based on that. But if there are not other tapes and other things, that's an isolated incident, but we know it's probably more based on what we saw. Because people normally don't beat up somebody that bad one time. Nobody gets beat like that one time. That just per my experience of seeing it. Because that was an aggressive stance. That wasn't slap and then you get remorse. There was no remorse in that whole 3-minute video. That was just straight hate. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But again, black media, we run with everything so negative just to get clicks. And that's the scary part about YouTube. And it needs to be a high level of accountability because people just say things that I got a source told me. A source told me that these kids want to run away. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? It's two little 20 doors want to run away. It just went to the graduation party. You know what I'm saying? He wiped his Instagram page. He didn't want to apologize to Cassie. What if the feds told him to wipe it? I mean, he has so much litigation, you never know what they're telling him to do. His lawyers could have told him, wipe your page. We need to do an audit and see what's on there. You never know. But why are we assuming why he wiped his page? When a person is facing life in prison, you do whatever the lawyers want you to do. Like, don't be nothing else. So that's why you're paying them $2 million a month. You're not paying them $2 million a month to listen to them. You feel me? You paying somebody right. $2 million a month, you're paying for them to be in control because you want them to save your freedom, not your life, your freedom. So I'm just frustrated with that. I feel like there's just no accountability. People just saying whatever for life, but you give me your thoughts, boss.
So we're talking about mainstream media and comparing it.
Black YouTubers on YouTube reporting news.
Okay, got it. Yeah, well, I think there's pros and cons to black YouTube media because I think for the most part, mainstream media kind of says it. I wouldn't say the exact same thing, but some people do look at mainstream media as censored. Like there are certain things that they don't report or they're not in the trenches and know exactly what's going on. So, you know, the YouTubers sometimes have some details that mainstream media does not have. So I think there's pros and cons to it. There's pros to it because, you know, obviously some of them do report certain things that they've seen or that they've heard or that they're privy to. But there's cons to it because some people are just doing it for clicks. They're lying. You know, they're making up whole stories just to get some fame, just to get some clout, you know. So, so it's pros and cons to it. But I think the viewers have to kind of be more picky and distinguish between who's telling the truth and who's not. You know what I'm saying? Like if this somebody named JoJo just talking about like, okay, did he pay me to kill somebody? You know what I'm saying? Like you can't just like run with it and say, hey, you know, and believe him. You know, I think people have to really determine and use discernment to see, okay, if this person is credible or not, because stuff like sensationalized news has always been there. Like, you know, say when they had tabloids, were always a big thing in say the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, those were little magazines that said a whole bunch of crazy stuff and some people bought it and some people didn't. You know, and some people thought it was true and some people didn't. So I just think this is just a different form of tabloids because, you know, people don't sit there and buy magazines and read them anymore. So this takes over that with these YouTube bloggers. Just some of them are making up stuff and some of them are legit. And I think the people who are legit, they have you know, have plenty of followers, and they have a sense of journalism, you know, with the who, what, when, where, why, and how. They have a sense of journalism. So you could kind of tell sometimes who's legit and who's not. And then, but like you were talking about Tasha K, I mean, she has a huge following, but I think when news is a slow news day or news dry up, you know, people are eating off of being, trying to be a blogger, I mean, a YouTuber, then they start making up stuff. So I think, again, I think there's pros and cons to it, but I think it's YouTubers and black YouTubers, it's necessary. I think it's necessary because it kind of gives a balance. And so a balance is necessary. But there's pros and cons to mainstream media, and there's pros and cons to other types of media. So that's my opinion.
Well, first of all, I definitely appreciate your feedback. But three things I want to discuss based on what you said. I'm not, like, people who were buying or still buy the National Enquirer or other forms of media like that, they don't buy it to vet it. They buy it because it grabs headlines. So when you say pig needed meat pick here, that's not the way the world works, because the lie is more entertaining than the truth. If you put up a lie, it's going to be more entertaining than the truth, because the truth is very, okay, the end. But the lie, you can stretch that 12 different ways to make it, to say, for instance, when they said, you know, this person not from America, or this really happened, but it didn't. And they stretched the truth so far because of the fact that they know it's going to sell more headlines. It's just like, you know, when they say things about political opponents, or they say things about even things that are not even true, just to trigger people. You know, they took a picture of Kamala Harris and digitally put Jeffrey Epstein, and she's never been around Jeffrey Epstein. What I'm saying is that, but that's trending on Twitter right now. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, when people go to YouTube, 60% of the world's population is on YouTube every single day, because YouTube is a platform that's free. And if I type in Diddy, or if I type in Mariah Carey, if I type in Kamala Harris, if I type in Amber Rose, I'm going to get 5,000 videos about Amber Rose.
Right.
But people are not going, the people who are looking for the clicks are going to always outweigh the people promoting truth. I'm not saying all of them do that. I'm talking about the ones that actually do it, because of the fact that's what's polluting the environment. Just like with Spotify. Who believes an artist really has 20,000 streams if you never heard of?
Right.
You got 20,000 monthly listeners for real? Well, I'm on all these playlists. You know what I'm saying? Why? But you never see them doing that on Apple. Never. You don't see it on Apple, because Apple won't allow people to pirate their platform. Spotify has a different mentality. You know what I'm saying? Right. You can't just do that on Apple. It won't work. So it's a harder mate. What I'm saying is, Apple doesn't want all of that. Fake people drive traffic, which drives numbers overall, which is why Spotify is the McDonald's of the game. I mean, they just posted a record profit. They running ads now, but they still got the bots. But what I'm saying is, easy to crack. My thing is, for the people who have no real journalism background, they just popular. They are the ones that create the videos, and they put a lot of non-due diligence out there, basically, about people. And all I'm saying is that no matter what you think of somebody, everybody deserves to be spoken about in the truth of matter. No matter who it is. I don't care who it is. Even, I may not like Amber Rose, but I'm not going to disparage her name. I'm not going to call her out crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a fan of Kanye West at all. Zero. Don't listen to his music. I don't agree with anything he does publicly, because I feel like he's doing it for attention. I think he's gifted, not just because he can make music. I just think his ideas and the things he create are just through the roof amazing. His clothing is this. Yeah. And I feel like he's misusing his talent. That's my frustration, but I'm not going to call him in. I'm not going to put just negative, you know, just things aren't true about him. You know, right. if he wants to walk around with his wife half naked, my problem is when you try to cover up with your hand. That's my problem, like he did that yesterday. Like, right. You mad about the paparazzi zooming in on her. You have her out with nothing on.
Right.
Like, so people are going to say, well, you're prancing your wife around like a slut. People are going to say that. That's their opinion. But to the human eye, that's what it looks like. That's mm-hmm. what it looks like. Like, you want the attention. That's why you have her out there like that. So my thing is that people aren't going to be picky when the lie is so entertaining. See? Like, they're going to want to like, okay, is that really true? Well, I know Diddy did. Like, I mean, there's things you got to have proof on before you just run with. That's why I don't talk about things that, like, I'm not going to say, oh, Diddy killed Kim Porter. I'm not going to say that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to run anything like that because there's been a coroner report, two of them. There's been police involved. There have been people there. Like, they're not saying, oh, I'm going to put my freedom on the line.
Right.
That's where I'm coming from. Like, I'm just saying black people, we take liberties to report on other black people that are high profile for the views and the likes. Like, I'm going to give you an example. You tell me what you think. Now, I respect Joe Budden. I think he's the number one voice in music podcasting for hip hop culture. I really do. That's just my opinion. And I will always have that. But the way he talked to Nicki is totally different than how he come at Cardi. And I don't, I know the reason why. You know what I'm saying? Because he says it's not personal, but it's personal. Because there's no way you can objectively not say, give Nicki constructive criticism about her music that she's released in the past 10 years. It just hasn't been great.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been great. You can't say, man, out the park. You can't do that. Cardi's had more out the parks than her. That's just a fact. She has more diamond singles than her. That is a fact.
Right.
Forget overall sales. She has more diamond singles. Diamond means you went 10 times flat.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, WAP, the other song, whatever. What I'm saying is that what you won't say a wimple word about Nicki at all. You will not critique that, but you'll throw Eminem under the bus. Or you'll say, I haven't listened to Eminem album. So it's like you picking and choosing which lane you want to drive down. To me, that's the stuff I'm talking about with him. Like, if you're going to call it across the board and leave it at that. If you think Drake lost the battle, state your case, he lost. I don't think Drake ever tried to win. I just think Drake wanted to. I think Drake was bored, and I think Drake is super rich. I think Drake wanted to show I can go toe to toe with Kendrick. I think Kendrick had a better strategy. But that don't mean that he's a bigger artist, because he's not, according to sales. He don't have a bigger global impact. Well, he doesn't, because that's in social media influence and numbers saying Drake. But that doesn't mean he won in that moment. You can lose, you can win in a moment. And that's what Kendrick did. He won in a moment.
Right.
Because Not Like Us was just a more catchy record. It was like How to Rock. So I'm just saying people got to call it balance. And we have a hard time doing that because at the end of the day, everybody wants to play up to somebody in the industry so they don't lose favor. And I just think that going back to the question before we move on was that people always want to run with the lie faster than the truth. So I'm just saying it's important for black people to like really truly know what you're talking about and have receipts versus just say, I know he did that. I know he did this. I can't do that. People who didn't know Rick Ross was a CEO didn't know he was a CEO. When the picture came out, everybody knew he was a CEO because he hid it. My only issue was, why did you lie? Why did you never tell anybody that? I mean, that's a big piece of information to leave off your resume when you're talking about authenticating lyrics, especially when you mention drug references. So anyway,
I mean, we don't agree with the Rick Ross thing, but there's a lot of,
I'm just talking about admitting that part. That's all I was saying. I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
no,
about
but
that part, the code, I'm talking about just who you are. Like if I was a firefighter and I turned into a rapper, then that's part of my story. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, that's still your truth. I mean, I'm just saying don't suppress something you know could hurt you because that's That was intentional. That was premeditated. He didn't just leave it off the resume. He purposely didn't want to say nothing. And I know for a fact that people suppressed that to make, because that would have come out before his image became cemented with his talent, with his great talent. It would have been a different story. I mean, stories kill people. They do. I mean, the wrong story get out. If the tape never got out of Diddy being gassy, people were like, the public opinion was swaying on Diddy before that happened. People were like, man, he didn't do that. So him bug everybody, man. Come on, man. Puff. They trying to take a black man down. But when they saw him maul the girl, that kind of went out the window. Did it not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Nobody feels sorry for him. Oh, I got a daughter, man. Well, you got proof now. The video got out. What are you paying $50,000 for? I'm just saying. Like, he paid to suppress it. Rick Ross paid to suppress. I'm a CEO. He didn't. It took years. It took 3 years to get that information. That's a long time, Z. Took a mm-hmm. long time. And Big Boy, shot at Big Boy Radio, he just asked him, is that you on a tape? And remember, he went 6 months without doing interviews after the picture started circulating. They weren't trying to do damage control behind the scene. Because that thing was like, what is it going to do? And then after a while, and again, it's not about the talent. I'm just saying, just don't lie. Like, you grew a beard, you quit your job, you started rapping. That's all I'm saying. I got no problem with what he chose to do. I just got a problem with him hiding. That's all.
Well, he wouldn't be a successful rapper, but everybody know about that.
But at least that, though, at least the job part.
Man, you know, he's trying to be successful. He's not going to tell everybody his whole background. I mean, isn't there some stuff you left off your resume sometimes? I do.
I mean, but if you go to get a job as a doctor, then you can't tell them that on your last job, the last hospital you worked with, somebody died. I can't be that off. Just saying.
I mean, it's not being a doctor, but I mean, they'll
know. What I mean, you know what I mean. You're in the medical field. You
they'll know if you kill somebody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the malpractice thing, I guess you gotta state that.
Yeah, I just think everybody leaves something off their resume, so I don't fault him for that. I mean, but that's my opinion. Because
no, I respect your opinion. I like 100%. I'm just saying, to me, if it wasn't deliberate, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I'm just saying. When you look at it that way, it just looks like you wanted to hide it. I mean, Cass lying about, I mean, when a female rapper says, I don't write my raps, nobody says no. We like, okay, it's cool. She don't write her raps. That's fine. We let it go because it's looked upon differently with men, you know,
right.
Imagery. If you don't write your raps as a man, it's Armageddon. You know what I'm saying? Like, or you need to quit. You need to quit. We don't know if Lotto write all her raps. We don't know. Nor do we care. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, look, Kim had to fight that. Foxy had to fight that. They said Big Road Kim, J Road Fox. And people, I know people, when I was coming to New York, like people said, nah, Kim wrote every day. Period. Kim wrote some of Junior Mafia stuff. So I'm just saying there's a standard, a double standard. With it. All I'm saying is in conclusion before we move on was that he just deliberately hid it and it took years. If that would have never came out, he would have never said nothing. I just don't think that's fair to the culture. If you were a cop, you need to say I was a cop. That just, I mean, you're a CEO. I mean, I think he would say that. Because people looking up to you like you this large and life street guy.
I mean, to me, the CEOs be street guys. Like from... I mean, I've worked with people in jail before and they'll tell you like the people that work in the jails, it was like, you guys are the smart criminal. You know what I'm saying? They just got caught, you know? So I don't look at it as, I mean, I think there are people in law enforcement that are very crooked and, you know, I just don't see, I just think it would have hurt his career, but I just think it would have hurt his career and I would have left that out too. So, but it doesn't say that what he's talking about is entertainment, but even if he wants to betray that he's a drug dealer and stuff, him being a CEO don't mean he's not a drug dealer. You know, him being a CEO doesn't mean he's not a criminal, you know, because it doesn't say anything to me That's why I don't really, I think he just left it off because it just didn't look good on his resume as a gangster. But, you know, it still don't mean he's not a gangster. But
I mean, that's how I mean, I hear you. And I was, like I said before, I always respect your insight because you offer a refreshing, you know, path of knowledge for a diverse listening base that we have. But I mean, from my perspective, for someone to say, I'm doing all this illegal activity, but I was a CEO and there's no track record of him. Like, there's track records of certain artists that did certain things. The reason why people had an issue with Pusha T was because there was never, nobody never saw nothing. We just hear about it. And I'm just saying, when you portray it so heavily and then you take somebody's name, remember, I interviewed the real Rick Ross back in 2015. So I met the guy who's on American Gangster on BET. He was making $1 million a day selling me the 405 Freeway. They call him Freeway Ricky Ross. I mean, when you take somebody's name and you take their identity and you take their likeness and then you create a narrative around that, I'm just saying, and then you leave out that you are a CEO. It's too many things that add up. It's like, this is the story that could work. And to me, it's like the Victoria's Secret thing. The woman behind Victoria's Secret was a heavyset woman. They didn't want her to come out because the girls were all these thin model girls, and that would kill the image. And then it came out later that the mastermind behind it was a Lane Bryant type chick. But the truth is the truth. But they suppressed that for years because they didn't want it to hurt the image of the brand. I'm just saying, he made business decisions. And I don't think, in the culture of it, if that would have been anybody else, if that would have been Eminem, we would have killed Eminem. Eminem said, I was a cop. He would have never made one more song. Not one more. He would have never made another record ever. Dre would have been forced to drop him. You know what I'm saying? But he was just a white kid from a trailer park called 8 Mile in Detroit. And his story was authentic. It was authentically him. He grew up white trash, in his words, and he wanted to kill his mom. And his girlfriend, Kim, was crazy and had a daughter named Haley. And it was just him. But that was just him. But if he would have said he was but if we found out he was a cop or a private detective, I mean, we would have killed the guy. Literally, we would have killed him. Like, he would have never been able to breathe out. 50 would look weird.
My last point about it is, like, we want, a lot of people want to believe, but pop is like wrestling. Everyone wants to believe it's real. Everybody watching it want to believe it's real, but it's not. Majority of these people are not living this life. You know what I'm saying? Like, majority of these people imitating people live that life. Her stories who live that, you know, people who live, they're not living this life. You know, so it's not real. So I look at it as entertainment. He's acting. He's being a good actor because everybody's falling for it. He's making money. He's making money. And that's what it is. It's just like, it's entertainment. You know, a lot of these guys you roll up on, I'm sure that, you know, they're not really that gangster. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, I think the people who are the most gangster, I think, you know, like LL, he doesn't even come off as gangster. But to me, he's gangster because, like, somebody broke in his house and he beat the heck out of that guy. You know what I'm saying?
I just being a stand-up guy. But when you use the word gangster, I mean, he's never even used the word gang in his lyrics.
That's how I look at gangster. Somebody who's a tough guy who could protect himself and his family. So that's how I look at gangster. So, you know, like, I think, and they didn't even say he had a gun. He just beat the heck out of this guy. And a lot of people who portrayed themselves as gangster, I think they would have ran and went to get a gun because they don't have no hands. You know, so I just think is hip hop is wrestling. It's fake, and some people think it's real, but it's not. So that's how I feel.
Got you. All right, so we got clarity on that for sure. I want to tap in, and again, these are just our opinions, my opinions, the opinions, and they're great opinions because at the end of the day, people are going to think they want to think about it. Moving on to the next topic, I want to talk about identity crisis. I think sometimes when people go on reality TV, that to keep the storylines going, I think people transform into that person. And after a while, they start perpetrating like that person really exists, but it doesn't. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like you turn up for the cameras, but when the cameras mm-hmm. are off, like, that's not you. That's what people were saying about like Pac and Juice. Like, he really wasn't like that off camera, but then after a while, Bishop became him in a lot. Like,
yeah.
People started treating him like Bishop. Like,
mm-hmm.
like character, you play the character so well, people really think that's you. That oh, really yeah. happened. That really happened in Denzel too, after Malcolm X. People start thinking he was Moose. You know what I'm saying?
Because
mm-hmm. he played yep. the movie so well, he should have won an Oscar for it. They robbed. You know, they gave him an Oscar for Training Day, which is horrible. Not horrible acting, mm-hmm. but I know why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's his legacy. You know, a corrupt drug dealer cop. So mm-hmm. that's another conversation for another topic about Hollywood and Black people. But my thing is, when we're talking about reality TV has changed the scope of TV to a degree. And my thing is, when I think about people like Amber Rose, who we were first introduced as Kanye West's girlfriend and other. And then, but she was always dressed nice. Fashion was on point. She had this Grace Jones type aura about her. You know, Grace Jones was the first Black woman, like really rocking that bald head with the shades. She just had that exotic look, you know, like you can find just like Naomi Campbell, Iman, you know, some people, when you see them, you just, they have that significance and distinctiveness about their look. You know, Amber has that. When she walks into a room, there's a presence there. I say all that to say, when you start to go down certain rabbit holes in life that you're not sure about, it can change the way you even view yourself. Like when Kanye was running for president, it just didn't feel like him. And then all of a sudden, he's crying on stage saying, Harriet Tubman, you know, didn't free the slaves. Like, it was weird. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He just started changing. Like, and he was wearing a bulletproof vest. It was just like, he was crying. And, you know, he was going through a divorce. It was just weird. It's like, that's not who I want. That's not who I know. I mean, that's not who I thought I knew. You know, I knew this musical guy who made dope, who made clothing that nobody could match. That's who I knew. But now he crying on stage saying that, you know, Harriet Tubman didn't free slaves. It was just weird. Mm. So, but my thing is, people become a character. I think I'm saying the word right. Character. Of themselves. And mm-hmm. they start trying to become that person. And it blurs the line. You go from slut walk to RNC convention. And now there's stories that she struggled. You know, like the way people are treating her, like, you know, her friends and different people around her, because you go to this big platform and you start talking. And the thing about fame or attention, when it comes, you don't really know how it's going to play out. And you got to ride that wave, because it may be what you think. It may not be what you think it is. It can be something totally different, and it could destroy your life. It can make it worse. It's almost like with Candace Owens, when she got fired from her job, then there was like, oh, now she wants to do all this Black media. Like, don't accept her in. She wants to do Roland Martin. She wants to do Breakfast Club. She wants to do this, that. When her and Kanye was up there saying, wearing White Lives Matter shirts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you could want attention, and then it gets odd and weird, and it gets scary, because you don't like when people look at you crazy because you're saying George Floyd didn't die because that man's knee was on his neck. I'm just saying, people can start becoming of a character that is getting a lot of attention. And then mm-hmm. I don't think Kanye ever wanted to ruin his relationship with Adidas. I just think he took it too far, because it fundamentally doesn't make sense to lose a billion-dollar partner. Hey, let's just get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? Let's get rid of him. We don't need Adidas. We can. Why? Nah, man, my shoes are successful. Let's just say a bunch of stuff about Jewish people. It just didn't make sense. So to me, in conclusion, my thoughts, I just feel like, you know, people, when they get to a certain level of fame, to keep that fame going, they feel like they gotta turn up to another level. It's almost like the Ray J thing, to see him trying to fight the dude that owns Zeus in the streets of LA was weird to me because Ray J, like, you're always doing things, looks like, for stunts. Like, like when we look at you, we first thing we say is Brandon's little brother, and you always saying you're divorced, and you always cheating, and you're always in some mess. Like, it looks like, but I know that's not you. I know behind the scenes, you're a brilliant businessman, and you love your family. But when the lights come on, you acting crazy. And why are you in the street fighting a dude that has a reality TV network just like you? And what is that going to prove when you have two kids and you get shot, like, from some random person? It's like the energy that you get is the energy that you live and die by. So in conclusion, I'm going to say this. I look at the Tupac thing. When I sat back and I watched the Tupac video of him punching that dude in the casino the night he died, got shot. I watched it like 10 times. And I said, what would make him just run across the room and just beat up somebody in broad light in a casino where everybody can see him punching people and they're on camera? And knowing that guy is a gang member and think he can just get away with it with no repercussions and zero fear. It's not because he can't get touched. It's because he was still acting like Bishop from Juice. Because anybody with common sense would be like, I'm Tupac. I'm on top of the world. I got movies and this and that. I'm only 25 years old. People depending on me. I'm here with Quincy Jones' daughter, Kadada. I had to see my man Mike Tyson fight. Why would I want to risk losing my life on a gang member? For what? Because he took a death row chain for somebody? It wasn't, he wasn't even beating him up for something that he did to him. It was something that he heard he did to another death row employee. He took a chain from a death row artist, a low level death row artist. So he wants to beat the guy up. But that same night, he lost his life. So all I'm saying is people become characters when the cameras turn up. And my thing is with reality TV, where I'm looking at like Love and Hip Hop season 12, Harley is, you know, dating this millionaire and she's in love again. Well, we've seen that past 11 years. Or Kurt is cheating again. Like, Kurt cheated season 5 and 6 and 7. But are the storylines drawing up? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I don't see Stevie J doing that no more. I think nobody wants to hear him saying, I got two different women. It was cool when it lasted because it was new. It was fresh. Nobody seen a dude with two women like that on TV. It was different. But you can't run that storyline for 6 years.
Right.
So I just think that, you know, these celebrities, they take it too far. And I think even with Amber Rose, nobody was talking about her for a long time. And all of a sudden now, because you want to pick a political party, it's like now you're at the epicenter of hate and like people attacking you. But you have to know how to manage fame. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, so with Amber Rose, we're talking about her and her identity. I mean, I heard some of what she had to say at the Republican convention, and she said she's a model, she's an entrepreneur. I haven't
really seen her as a rapper, though. Just, I mean to cut you off, they label her as a rapper, though, on screen.
And, right, and she's not that. She hasn't, I don't know, maybe there's a mixtape out there that I haven't seen, but, you know, I haven't heard, but she's not that, you know. She says she introduced herself as a model, as an entrepreneur. You know, don't really see Amber Rose as a model. I think she's well known. I think she's more of a celebrity because she was attached to Kanye. So I don't see her as a model, but maybe there's pictures out there where she's modeling something, but I don't see her as a model. As she says, she's an entrepreneur. Okay. You know, she did have the slut walk thing that she's been doing for a few years now. I don't think there's much buzz behind that. And I don't think that there's a lot of momentum behind that. So those two things that she introduced herself as, I don't think are doing too well. You know, but and then her other statement was, but my most important role, I'm paraphrasing that part, but my most important role is I'm a mother to my children, and my role and what's important is for me to provide for them. And that's what I see that she's doing. You know, because the other roles that she explained, I don't see them being successful. So I think she said it there that she's like, the most important, my most important thing is that I'm a mother and I provide for my children. And she has millions of followers. I think 23 million followers. She's an influencer. And the Republican Party jumped on it. And they say, oh, we can use this person. You know, I'm sure she's not doing it for a pat on the back. You know, I'm sure she's doing it for some money. And I think that is the reason. I think if another party said, hey, we gonna double that money up, she would go ahead with them too. Like, or she would be quiet and not endorse Trump. You know, it's just like, I think this is mostly for money because this is different. She's never talked about any, she's never really publicly talked about politics. And I think the well has run dry with endeavors. And this is a new one. And when I think that people are not being genuine and they're doing it, you know, for a bag, then, you know, I don't really pay too much attention to it. So, and I don't think I don't pay a lot of attention to it and take it seriously. And I think some people feel the same way I do. I think I'm not the only one that feels that way. So that's my take on her. I think reality TV, you switch up with the role. You switch up with whatever that's going to make you more money. You know, every season you got to switch it up. And that's what we doing. I think this whole political race seems like a big reality show, and that's what a lot of people are saying. You see the comments and stuff, like people are saying this seems like a skit or a reality show. And just to wrap it up, I just think there's a lot of, we're gonna have to get used to trying to discern what's real and what's fake. That's with everything. I think that's people's personality. Is this a reality show? Is this a real? Is this AI? Is this, you know, like we're just going to have to get really good at determine what's real and what's not. And that's going to be the new era, pretty much. Yeah, that's it.
True. You brought up a lot of good points. I mean, everything you said, you know, runs in alignment with the logic behind why people do what they do. I just, in a final statement, I just feel like, you know, people are so, the money and the, I think people get so comfortable with, you know, you had, like, so when people see them in the street, you got this going on, you got that going on, you know what I'm saying? Like, they want to keep that bravado up of, they always got something going on. And I just feel like that's a big, like, you don't always have to have something going on in your life. That's why it's important to have an exit strategy. I just think that with a lot of these reality people, you know, it's important to have exit ramps to other avenues of success. So you're not just looking like, I mean, I think with Love and Hip Hop, they're on season 12. I mean, look, Scrappy's been on 12 years. Rashida been on 12 years. I mean, they've had longer careers in TV than they had in music.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as success, I mean, like, Scrappy hasn't put out an album in forever. Rashida, she transitioned to clothing, which was a great move, but she's very successful at it. But, you know, you open up your life, whether it's true or not, to the world. And at the end of the day, you got to look at your legacy from that perspective. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for all your insights. So what did you think of today's show?
Today's great. I thought we said a couple of perspectives that most people don't think about. It was awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for being a co-host for me. And thank you for all of your wonderful and intelligent insight. You have a great mind. Your brain waves are very unique. Sure. All right, people. No doubt about it. All right, people, more than just an interview, make sure that you subscribe to us on Apple. We prefer Apple, but if you're on Spotify, tap in with us on Spotify. If you're on iHeartRadio, Pandora, iHeartRadio, we're there as well. All right, for the more than just an interview podcast. Thank you for rocking with us. Don't forget to hit that red button. Peace and love.
Peace. Have a good night.
To the teacher's assistants and support staff who see potential in every child, Grand Canyon University recognizes you. We created the National Center for Teacher Preparation at GCU, along with a generous scholarship so you can become a licensed teacher with paid benefits. Over 100 GCU alumni have been recognized award recipients, including Superintendent, Administrator, and Teacher of the Year. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/parapro.